Good morning, room is just starting. To sing your song again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship Your holy name. Come on, let's worship Him. In love and You're slow to anger, name is great. And Your heart is kind, for all Your goodness I keep on singing. Some reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship His holy name, sing like never before. So worship Your holy name. That day when my strength is failing and trust me. Good morning and welcome. God bless you. Let's just worship Him this morning as we come into His presence. Another day. Let's start the day out with singing. And by the grace of God, we will still be singing in the evening. The Bible says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be blessed and praised. Glory to God. Let's share the room, please. I'm going to take a minute. The room is just starting. I'm going to take a minute to invite people to join us. Please do the same. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll be starting in just a minute. Powerful subject today. You don't want to miss it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, let worship ye so. Sing like never, sing like never
before, oh my soul,
holy name. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, I worship your holy name.
Sing like never before. Oh,
my soul, I worship your holy name. Good morning and welcome to the room. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Good morning, Sister Alexis, Sister Grace. God bless you. Let's share the room. Let's get people in here. Share it on Clubhouse. Invite people in. We'll be starting in just a few minutes. I believe God's going to bless us. All right. Well, while we are inviting people in, honey, do you want to just sing a song of worship? Great. You know, I love to do this. Some people may come into the room while we are singing, say, what's going on there? And they just leave. But that's okay. We will be here, and others will join later. So let's sing a song of praise. You want to sing a song of praise?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glorious King, marvelous King, we bow before your throne. We worship at your feet. You are a glorious King. Glorious King, marvelous King, we bow before your throne. We worship at your feet. You are a glorious King. Your name is Alpha and Omega. Glorious King, we bow before your throne. We bow before your throne. We worship at your feet, we bow before your throne. You are a glorious King. Hallelujah. Your name is Alpha and Omega. Glorious King, we bow before your throne. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, the King of Kings. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Emmanuel. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, the King of Kings. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Emmanuel. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, the King of Kings. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Emmanuel. Come and join me, sing hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh has done me well. Come and join me, sing hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh has done me well. Come and join me. Come and join me. Sing hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh has done me well. Come and join me. Sing hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh has done me well. It is a good thing to sing praise unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High God, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord.
Thank you so much.
It is, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Welcome everyone to the room. We are getting started right now. Others will join later on. The room is just getting started, and we are here in this morning by the grace of God, on this morning here and walking with God, and we welcome you and thank you for joining. God bless you, and I believe it's going to be a powerful room this morning. Glory to God. So as we come right now, just take a minute where you are. Take a moment and just praise His holy name. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Come before His courts, you know, with singing. Take a psalm and praise His name and just tell Him how great He is, how great and awesome Thou art, O Lord. Thank you for your mercy that endureth forever unto the children of men. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for all of His goodness and for His mercies to the sons of men and to the children of men. Amen. Lord, because you have broken the gates of brass, you have cut asunder the bars of iron. We thank you because you've gone before us to make straight the crooked places. Glory to God. To bring forth even waters in the river, rivers in the wilderness, waters in the dry places. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you because you've gone ahead of us this day. It is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Share the room, please. And let's invite others. Share it first on Clubhouse. Let people know you are here. And then share to invite people. Good morning, Brother Charles. God bless you for joining. Good morning, Brother Gwinga. Thank you for joining. Sister Grace, Sister Alexis. And of course, thank you for joining my wife, Honey, Lady Ebon. I love you. Thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. We love the Lord. I love the Lord because He first loved me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's love the Lord this morning and just worship Him a bit before we get started. While we're in His presence, let's not be in a hurry. Just soak in His presence. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for an amazing, amazing day, a new day that you have made. And we rejoice and we will be glad in it. We know we will be glad in this day. Glory to God. We will be glad in this day. We know it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's a wonderful way to come into His presence early in the morning. For us, it is. Not sure where everybody's at, but, you know, here, it's not even quite 4:30 yet, and we're just about to get started. So, you know, as you come into His presence, just relax and open your heart to the Lord, and let's see what He's going to do for us and what He's going to have for us today. So thank you, Lord, again, for another day. Thank you for an opportunity to examine the Word of God and to hear also your Word, particularly for us today. Glory to God. The Word for the hour. What is it? What will the Lord tell us today? Well, you know, we will be getting into it momentarily. Thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light. And let this light shine in our hearts, even this morning. The entrance of your word also gives understanding. We pray, Lord, that this understanding will come in our hearts, even on today, in Jesus' name. This morning, Lord, let us have understanding in the word of God. Let us have, you know, let our eyes be opened. And let our ears also be open to hear instruction today that will keep us in the way. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. We honor you and we praise you this morning. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Well, good morning again, everyone. I'm going to get started right here. Others may join later. Today I want to talk on an important subject. Very important, especially when God brings revival. When he brings revival and begins to stir up the gifts, and when the gifts of the Spirit begin to flow, it is very important for us to have spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. Because if we don't have spiritual discernment and we don't know how to discern spirits, we may fall into error. It is so easy for people to fall into error without spiritual discernment. When God sends rain, upon the earth, the rain that falls upon the good ground is the same rain that falls upon, the weed, So it says in Hebrews 6 and verse 7, it says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that comes often upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receive a blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." That means that when the rain falls, it, will bring rain, water to, the earth, and the herbs that are good will get, nourishment from that rain. So also, even the thorns, and so also even the weed. There's no way you can make rain to fall and then just separate and say, okay, you're only going to fall on the good stuff and not on the weed. The same rain that makes the good stuff to grow makes the bad stuff to grow. And so you got to constantly go in there and weed out the bad stuff, and sometimes that bad stuff can even grow quicker, than the good stuff. And they just mingle in there. And you're constantly having to weed out that stuff because just as the good stuff, your plants, your garden and the things that please you, just as they are getting rain and flourishing from the rain, so also will the weed and the unpleasant stuff be flourishing from the rain as well. What does that mean? Well, when God kicks off revival and the gifts of the Spirit begin to flow and God begins to do things again, we got to be careful. We got to use discernment, spiritual discernment, and discerning of spirits is what the room is today. Because if we're not, we'll be prone to the spirit of error. And the reason that people fall into error, is because you don't take time, to ask God for spiritual discernment. So that's going to be our topic today. We're going to be praying around that, but we're going to also share the word around that as well. And we trust that you know, God's going to give us understanding. You know, I ask you to tune in and stay tuned in. Don't be distracted. But before we get going, share the room if you haven't already done that. Share it on Clubhouse and invite people in here. And let's enjoy the blessing of the Lord together. You know, so, but I am going to get started right away. Many, many, many stories in the Bible here that we need to consider. I'll see how much of it I can get through very quickly. First of all, we find out that the Lord gives us instruction to try the spirits. That's right. So 1 John chapter 4, you know, verse 1 tells us that right away. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." It's amazing that this scripture is here, but people pay no attention to it at all, you know. And so, but let's deal with that subject today. Trying the spirits, what does that mean? Well, it also means test the spirit. You know, there are many things to test. You test the content of what they say, you know, test the content of which direction they are going, you know, test, you know, the motive, and so on and so forth. You know, there's a lot of things, and there are even some subtle things. You know, there are sometimes when something looks just right, but it isn't, when you put it up against the Word of God, you know. And then there are some that are so, you know, so like the real thing, that you just can't figure it out unless you have discerning of spirits. That's also a gift. It's one of the gifts, you know, but the spiritual discernment, everybody can learn that, you know, but the gift of discerning of spirits, a gift. You can't learn it. You know, God brings it, and it's an ability. It's an uncanny spiritual ability to discern the walking of spirits, whether it's an evil spirit or it's good spirit, whether it's evil angels or good angels. You know, but we can learn spiritual discernment. You know, that's something that we can learn by experience. It says here in Hebrews, you know, chapter 5, it talks about, you know, how we can use our, you know, senses, you know, to discern good and evil. He was talking about, let me just read it from verse 12 for content or context. For the time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one should teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he's a baby, you know, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this one is, you know, spiritual discernment, but it's through practice. It's through, you know, having reason of use. This is not, you know, some, you know, extraordinary gifting. This is just the people that, you know, by reason of use, their experience and so forth, common sense and things like that, you know, they figure it out. You know, I mean, it also says here that, you know, when people are not solid or have not grown to the level that they should have grown, when they should have been teachers, they are still babies. When they should have been eating strong meat, they are still drinking milk. They may not be experienced, but those who are, you know, are experienced, they know how to eat strong meat and so forth. They may be able to use their spiritual senses, which they have developed over time, to discern between good and evil. So that's just spiritual discernment through use, you know, use of the things, you know, I mean, practicing, you know, and over time. And also, you know, knowledge of the Word of God. You know, we know the Word of God and we know how to apply it and so on and so forth. You know, so, you know, that's that. But there's also, you know, the walking of the Spirit of God in us through the discerning of spirits, which is one of the gifts described in 1 Corinthians 12. You know, So today, let's dive right into this. Like I said, it's important at a time like this, you know, to understand, you know, and how to test the spirits. One thing I want to say right away before I forget is motive is very important in what people are doing or saying and so forth. Now, on this app, which is an amazing app, I have never met or seen or known so many prophets and apostles until I got on this app. And when I first got here, close to a little under 2 years ago, every room I went, it was an apostle, it was a prophet, it was a this, it was a that. I was like, oh my goodness. I didn't even know there were this many prophets. I didn't know that there were this many apostles. You know, and then over time, some of the people that came in and became, were prophets. Then all of a sudden, they became apostles. You know, one day they are prophets, one day they are an apostle. I mean, it's kind of like people just get promoted. I mean, you know, people get promoted, you know, after you've been a prophet for a while, then you get promoted to become an apostle. Is that how it is in the Word of God? You know, these are things that people just make up, you know, because we like piling up these titles to ourselves, you know, and if you are a prophet and somebody is an apostle, then you think that the apostle is higher than, so you want to be an apostle and a prophet thinks they are higher. I mean, it's just a bunch of confusion. But is that what the Word of God really says? You know, these giftings and various things that God has in the body of Christ, it's all for the work of the body of Christ. You know, the hand, the leg, the foot, the ears, the brain, even this mighty brain that is so great that we have. You know, if you take the brain out of the head and just set it on a table without it, it just looks ugly and repulsive. I can't do anything. So it needs all of the coordination of all the pieces together. You know, why am I saying this? Because, you know, people get drawn into all these things, prophet, apostle, and so forth. And, you know, there are some true prophets, and there are some true apostles. There are some true pastors, you know, evangelists and so forth. You know, but there are also some that are in there for different reasons, which we don't know. But here's a good one to, you know, to follow. It's a good concept and a good, you know, parameter to use. It's in Revelation 19 and 10. You know, the angel that was showing John all these things, at one point in time, John wanted to worship him. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, Revelation 19 and 10, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. And he said, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Now we see, even from this scripture, we see some things. We see the tendency in a man, even in John. It was the apostle John, you know, that had been with Jesus for a long time, you know, and so on when Jesus was there. And we see that even there's that tendency in his heart, you know, when there's greatness around people, you know, this guy's showing you all kinds of things. I mean, you just want to reverence them. You want to worship them. You know, and there's a tendency in the hearts of people like that. Yeah, give honor to whom honor is due, custom to whom custom is due. You know, but, you know, there is a, you know, there is a limit to how we do that, right? I mean, you know, there is a limit to how we do that. First of all, we should give honor and glory to God. I remember even when I first came into the same clubhouse, you know, I mean, I came in here. And it was like, I mean, everywhere you went, when people came in the room, I mean, when Clubhouse first started, it, you know, I think it has diminished a bit, or maybe I've stopped going to those rooms. I don't know. But, you know, and you go into the room, which was okay. But somebody will come up on stage, and for the next 3 or 4 minutes, they are giving honor to this person and honor to that and honor to this and honor to that and honor to this and honor to that, which is good. But I would just be listening in my heart and saying, well, are they going to give honor to the Lord? You know, and then, you know, most of the time they don't. They just honor all the people on the stage, honor everybody and their brother, honor everybody and their sister, you know, and so on. But no honor giving to the Lord whatsoever. Well, you know, that's not a good thing. You know, the Bible does say that we should give honor to whom honor is due. And that's really good. Give custom to whom custom is due. But the first person to whom honor is due is God. You know, so, you know, if we don't give honor, the right honor to God, and we are just consumed in honoring, I mean, you know, Jesus said, look, you know, I do not receive the honor from man, you know, but this is what people want. But here's what God said in Malachi 1 and 6. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. And if I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? You know, and all of that, you know. So, look, okay to honor others and so forth, and it's good and we should do it. But what about God's honor? What about if God is our father, where is his honor then? If I be a master, the Lord said, where is the fear that the people, you know, show me the reverence, you know, is the word there, you know, and all that. And they said, look, these priests, they despise my name, you know, and they say, well, wherein have we despised your name? Well, because they offer polluted bread upon the altar, you know. And they all just offer, you know, just come in here and people just say contemptible things and, you know, just say things out of their mind. So we're going to talk about some of that today, you know, and help us to see how we should discern, you know. And sometimes people get carried away. There are many reasons why people can be carried away, you know. It could just be just purely out of, you know, wow. You know, this is a big brother, this is a big apostle, this is a big prophet, or whatever. And we can get carried away that way. You know, so, but let's see what the Lord tells us to do. There are many aspects I'm going to cover, you know, but I want to talk about first, prophecy. You know, what is prophecy? Well, I talk about it because I heard a lot of prophesying, you know. And people, and then the problem with people, as I see it, the first problem that I see with people is people don't want to hear from the Lord directly themselves. That's the first problem. You know, so because they don't want to do that, then they begin to heap to themselves, they have itching ears, and they begin to heap to themselves all kinds of prophets, you know, and so on. Prophets are good if they speak the word of the Lord. You know, but, you know, in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, the Lord invited the people. He wanted the people to come to him directly. He said, look, if you will obey my voice indeed, then you will be unto me a peculiar people. And I want to make you a kingdom of priests. I mean, so they were supposed to relate directly to God. They called them into the priesthood. Now, he wasn't talking to Moses or Aaron only. He was talking to the congregation of Israel. I mean, the assemblies, the whole, you know, company. He wanted them to be priests unto him. I mean, they could hear directly. They can come to God directly. That's what he wanted. And the people say, yeah, we will do it. But they did not do it, you know, because as soon as they, you know, in the next verse, in the next chapter in Exodus 20 and verses 18 and 19, when they saw the thunderings and all of these things and the glory and heard, you know, and saw the fire on Mount Sinai and everything, the Bible said the people removed afar off. They removed. You know, I mean, these people couldn't wait to get away from the Lord. they said, we don't want any part of that. You, Moses, you go hear from God and come and tell it to us. Well, that's problem number one, which is the same problem that we have till today. People do not want to hear from God directly themselves, you know, and so, you know, because they don't want to hear from God and they don't want to pay the price of hearing from God, you know, then they're going to be looking for a prophetic word or something here and there and so forth. Whereas God wants all of us, you know, to live in that prophetic, every one of us. Now it doesn't mean we're going to be prophets. Doesn't even mean all of us will have the gift of prophecy or even all these gifts, but we can all be prophetic, you know, prophetic. There was a prophecy given in the 17th century by a lady called Jean Liard. And he said in the last generation, in the last day, God will raise up the most prophetic people. Wow. You know, well, that's why we see a bunch of prophets jump up today, which is good. But we need discernment. Some of them will be good and some of them will not be so good. It will just be make believe and things like that. But, you know, they look so real. Jesus said, let them both grow together until harvest time. Because, you know, and they look just the same. So, but we need discernment. So when these people say, we don't want any part of God, Moses, go hear it from God. And then you come and tell us. My goodness. Now, that caused Moses to become a prophet. You know, God wasn't, you know, going to deal with them like that. The only person that was supposed to be a prophet at that time, you know, was supposed to be a prophet only to the unbelievers. You know, like God said to Moses, yeah, you will be like God to Pharaoh. And Aaron will be like a prophet to them, you know, but that's, it wasn't prophets, not a prophet to God's people. God wants to talk to God's people directly, you know, but if they don't want to hear it, well, okay. You know, then what will happen is one person becomes a prophet and other people become something else. And you know, this also leads to serious danger. In Exodus chapter 32, when, you know, Moses was gone for a long time. It was only 40 days, but it seemed like forever to these people because they are not used to hearing God themselves. So Exodus 32 verse 1 says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, you know, it was only gone 40 days. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, we shall go before us. As for this Moses that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. You know, so, you know, now, why is it that just because Moses is not there, you have to go look for some gods? Well, because these people, they had an opportunity, come to me, hear directly from me. Be a kingdom of priests. And they said, no, we cannot do it. We cannot hear the voice of God. When we hear the voice, we will die. You know. So now when the source for them, which is now Moses, of the word of God or the voice of God is not there, then they are still looking for. And it ends up in the golden calf. That's where it ends. You know, there is a room that I taught some months ago here on Clubhouse called, you know, while, you know, God is tarrying in coming, what's next? Is it the golden calf? You know, so something like that. You find it in my profile. I think it was a very, very revealing room. But I'm talking about something similar right here. These people could not wait on the Lord themselves. You know, so the person that was always waiting on the Lord for them or hearing from God to tell it to them was not around. So the next thing they're going to do is turn to something else. You know, they always turn into something. I was looking for a word here and a word there and a word there. You know, so that's a real danger. And I've seen it on this app so much. I know that even in our local church here in Phoenix, Arizona, at the beginning of this year, one of the things that I said to the people was that, look, in this year, God doesn't want you to just be looking for a word here and a word there. You need to flow in the prophetic yourself, because my sheep hear my voice, you know, and they follow me, right? So Jesus said, we follow him, we know his voice, and we do not follow strangers. So let's read some of that in John chapter 10. I'm going to read John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, and maybe I'll jump to verse 14 or something like that. So let me read in John chapter 10. We want to read some of these things that Jesus said himself. You know, before we get to the discernment, you know, and all that, I'm laying a background here for the reason why people even get into trouble, you know, spiritually, is because we don't have, one, our own senses exercised to discern good and evil. And two, we don't want to pay the price or don't think that we can hear from God ourselves. You know, so we're all looking here and there. And then, you know, those things are prone to error. John chapter 10 and verse 4 says, look, the good shepherd, he puts forth his sheep and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. Well, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are following strange voices. A stranger, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Well, that's a real sheep. Well, unfortunately, a lot of people who call themselves believers are following strange voices. You know, any kind of voice that just stands up and say anything in the name of the Lord, you know, people just follow. And those rooms are filled with, you know, people. You know, so, I mean, it may be good if they are truly speaking the word of God. But if they're not, you know, then the people are just rushing on to, you know, their own destruction and they don't know it. You know, so, you know, this is very important. The anointing of God that we have, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. If you are a child of God, and especially when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 1 John 2, 27 says that, look, the anointing that you have from God will teach you all things. Jesus said the same thing. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall teach you all things. You know, that anointing will teach you all things. You know, and you don't need any go-between. Now, it doesn't mean that there will be no teachers in the body of Christ. You know, that's part of the role. You know, but the thing to do is this. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Back to Revelation 19 and 10. You know, when I read that scripture, I didn't quite finish it. I digressed a little bit, but I'm back to it. This is the testimony. The man said, don't worship me, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, so anything that leads, you know, when prophecy leads people to give glory to God, when prophecy leads people to Jesus, then, you know, it's most likely from God. But when the prophecy is self-centered, you know, like it could have been self-centered, you know, if the angel, which turned out to actually be one of the olden prophets, because I am of your fellow servant, God was still sending them errands. You know, that gives you also a clue into the fact that they're not just sitting there doing nothing. He said, look, if we wanted to be self-centered, it would have received the worship, it would have received the honor, but they don't do that. Nobody in heaven does that. You know, Lucifer wanted to do that and he's already cast out. There's nobody else in heaven that does that. Even departed saints, if God sent them on an errand, like this one that we saw in Revelation 10, Revelation 19, sorry, you know, the real angels and so forth, they would immediately give that glory to God. They would direct their people to God. And this man is directing John, saying, no, don't do it. You know, you must worship God because, you know, that's the real test. You know, is a real test. Is this spirit testifying about Jesus? Is it ultimately pointing to the Lord? Or is it pointing to themselves? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and we as your servants for Jesus' sake. You know, so this is very important. Now, once, you know, I've laid this foundation because of this topic that I'm going to get into, because this is a very serious topic. And I laid these foundations this way. Now, let's begin to see some of the out-to-test prophecy and see whether it is of God or not. You know, there's one, there are many lessons in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22 will tell you, you know, he says, look, the first thing is if somebody were to prophesy something in the name of the Lord, you know, if the thing, you know, doesn't come to pass, then you know that that's not the thing, you know, that the Lord has spoken. Why? Because if God doesn't predict, God foretells because he already knows. So God doesn't, prediction is maybe, maybe not, you know, I mean, even science can predict. How do we get weather forecasts today? Well, it's prediction. You know, we have 100 samples, you know, it's what a computer does. I have 100 samplings and, you know, when the conditions were like this exactly, you know, out of those 100 samples, it precipitated, you know, 50 times or 70 times. Then they will say you have a 70% chance of rain. You know, that's a prediction. Does that make the computer a false prophet if it didn't rain? No, it's just a prediction. You know, so if people give prediction and didn't come to pass, fine. I don't even waste my time with that. But when you prophesy in the name of the Lord, it better come to pass. Because here's what he says. If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord and the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, I shall not be afraid of him. Don't even worry about it. Just move on. Now, but, you know, you have to use wisdom though, right? If you are in the house and somebody says, you know, speak in the name of the Lord and say, well, this building is going to collapse in the next 5 minutes. Well, you know, you can stay there and say, well, I'm going to see whether the building is going to collapse. But if you stay in the building, the building collapses on top of you, then what have you learned? You know, you know, this the way you would act in such a case, you know, you have to act in the, you know, with the motion of self-preservation. Well, you run out of the building and you check it out. But if that building does not collapse, then you get rid of that prophet, you know, get rid of him, you know, so, but you don't stay there until the thing collapses on your head, you know, so there's a wisdom to that, you know, but, so that's one thing. But even if the thing comes to pass, you know, we've talked about if it doesn't come to pass, but what about even if it comes to pass? What if they prophesy something that actually comes to pass, but yet, you know, there may be an underlying spirit. There may be an underlying thing. How do you figure that out? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 13 tells you that. I mean, let's read the first three verses in Deuteronomy 13. It said, if there arise a prophet among you, or a dreamer of dreams, and they give you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass. Now, remember, the first one, the one we read in Deuteronomy 18, said that if the sign doesn't come to pass, it's not from the Lord. Well, what if it comes to pass? So this one we're talking about, well, it actually came to pass. So when the thing comes to pass, whereof he spake unto you, after it came to pass, then he now tells you to do something contrary, like go after other gods, which thou hast not known. Then you will not hearken to the words of that prophet, because the Lord is proving you to see whether you love the Lord with all of your heart. Well, nobody is going to tell you these days. You know, the devil is smarter than that now. Nobody is going to tell you to go worship other gods. They're not going to say it point blank like that. It's a little leaven that leaveneth the lump. Jesus gave that parable himself. He said, look, the kingdom of God is like a little leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it's all mixed up. Leaven is never a good thing. That parable, I've talked about it here on Clubhouse, is not a good parable. That leaven is a bad thing. But the way you do it is, you know, the devil knows that if he's going to serve you poison and he brings a can to the table that says poison on it and tell you to eat out of it, of course you will not eat out of it. You know, so what is he going to do? He's going to take a little poison. He's going to cook the food. The food will look good. And then put a little poison inside. You know, and then because you have no discernment, you have no clue that there is poison in that food. The food looks good on the outside, but there's poison inside. So that's how it is done. You know, you don't come in, you know, this one of telling people to go worship other gods. Nobody is going to fall for that these days, you know. But there is a roundabout way of making people, turning the hearts of the people away from the Lord. You know, there are many subtle ways that the hearts of the people can still be turned away from the Lord today. Not just go and worship other God. Nobody is going to fall for that one. You know, so what you do is, you know, the devil knows this. You take a little, you know, or a lot of facts, not really truth. There's a difference between facts and truth. And I'll come to that in a minute. That devil is a liar, you know, and the father of it. And there is no truth in him. So devil cannot tell any truth, but he can tell facts. Now, facts, you can gather a lot of facts. Now, and you get all that together and mix it up with a little leaven. That's all you need. You don't need a whole bunch of leaven. Just need, you need, you know, you need something that looks, you know, 75% good or even 80% good. And just mix up a little, you know, poison in there. Something that's not so good. The next thing you know, everything is poison. You know, so this is very critical. Even if the thing comes to pass, then watch the direction in which they go. And how do you do that? Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. He said, back to the law and the testimony, or back to the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Now, the thing they say might come to pass. But if the watch the direction in which they are going, gifts or no gifts. If it is about preaching themselves, if it's about, you know, getting acclaim for themselves, and if it doesn't ultimately point to Christ, and if it is, you know, eventually telling you to do something that's contrary to the word of God, you know, they'll start out with a prophecy that may come to pass. And that's how they draw you in. You know, the spider, how he does his web. It puts out this beautiful spider's web out there. It looks so beautiful to the insects. I mean, it's really nice and so forth. You know, when the insect gets on the outskirts of the, you know, the web, the spider doesn't do anything. You just let them keep crawling in and looking good and everything, you know, until they get to the middle, then he snaps that thing. And then when he snaps it, there is no going back. There's no escape. You know, so that's the same thing. Put out a little thing out there and so forth. You know, I look good, and then draw people in and then snap it. And when they got you right where they want, then they will exhibit their true colors. You know, start out with something, you know, and look, when people are looking, we have something in my original Yoruba language that says, look, if you're looking for any kind of thing, you will find any kind of thing, you know. So when people are looking, when people even submit themselves, remember Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 8, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, look, nobody can discern the life of a child of God. It's like the wind. You're blowing here or there, can't tell until you're gone. You know, but if you go submit yourself to a soothsayer, or you submit, now many of these so-called prophets are soothsayers. They're soothsayers. They just, you know, and a soothsaying spirit will tell you, you know, facts, because they know some things. But which direction will they go? Will they really point you to the Lord? If you go submit your neck under a soothsayer, you know, then of course they already have power over you. You know, but if you're walking in the spirit of God, which is like a bubble, you know, they can't discern you. You know, they can be looking, but they can't see anything. But once you go submit, right? And you know, people submit in so many ways. And then they get drawn in, and they even start to honor us, to worship all these things and so forth. You know, but there's a stern, many stern warnings. And I'll give you some examples of, you know, something that looks like good coming from a soothsayer and all that, but it wasn't really coming from the Lord. But before I do that, let me read to you another thing quickly here in Exodus. I'm going to read, Ezekiel chapter 14. And I'm going to just read quickly, verse 9 of Ezekiel 14. Again, still talking about, you know, we're still talking about discernment, right? Discernment. So But here is a stern warning that the Lord put out here. You know, the Lord, this is a scripture that everybody should learn and understand. Because it says, look, if a prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, you know, this is even the one that didn't come to pass. You know, sometimes it comes to pass and sometimes it doesn't come to pass. But if there is deception inside of it, the Lord said, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet and I will stretch out my hand upon him and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Well, that is serious. That is really serious. You know, so, you know, and there are stories there in the Bible. You know, I will get to them in a minute if I can go very quickly here. You know, so, you know, there was a soothsaying spirit in Acts chapter 16, right? That, you know, the girl with the spirit of divination that was following, you know, Paul and Silas everywhere they went. And she was saying, well, these are the men that bring us, you know, show us the way of salvation and so forth. Well, what she was saying, was it not true? You know, I mean, of course it was true. You know, read it in Acts chapter 16 and verse 17. You know, okay, well, let me read it from verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master as much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. What was she not saying? What, you know, I mean, what she was saying was accurate. And she did this for many days. But Paul, after a while, being grieved in the spirit, turned and said, I command you to, you know, spirit, in the name of Jesus, I come out of her. You know, now, the gift of discerning of spirits is in operation here. This is different from even spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment can only go so far. You know, sometimes you can't even tell. You know, it looks so good. I mean, this girl was, you know, whatever she was saying looked good, you know, and so forth like that. And this is not suspicion either. The Holy Ghost doesn't need that. You can do that on your own. You know, this is not witch hunting. It's none of that. You know, that's just works of the flesh. Holy Spirit, point blank. You know, after a while, he got grieved in his spirit. And the Holy Ghost Spirit revealed to him that, look, you know, there's something behind that that's not right. Okay? And he rebuked that spirit. Glory to God. And it came out of there. Well, you know, I mean, what was the motive? Who knows what the motive was? You know, and this girl, you know, maybe if Paul had not done that, after a while, you know, after they left, she would have said, hey, you know, I was with Paul and Silas and I with all these people and so forth. You know, hey, I was with them, even Luke and everybody was there. You know, say, hey, look, I was the one hanging out with them. You know, so then he would use that association to draw people in. You know, maybe there was something there, you know, that whoever knows what was in her mind, you know, because she was doing, it was a soothsayer. You know, soothsayer can sometimes reveal facts, you know, but it was, you know, it wasn't really the spirit of the Lord that was there and it wasn't the spirit of truth. So God rebuked it through Paul and got him out of there, you know. So now let's look at some stories in the Bible, you know, where, you know, remember how, you know, God said, you know, in the Bible that let every word be confirmed by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Even Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians people, they loved the gifts and they were doing all kinds of things and so forth. But Paul had to help them set things in order. And he said, look, let the prophet speak two and three and let another judge and all these things and so forth. Still going with the, you know, two, you know, every word confirmed by two or three kind of thing. But look, just before it, look, the word of God is not in letters, folks. If you just go by the letter of the word, you know, then you need the spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and life. You need the spirit, not just the letter. Now, if you just go strictly by, you know, what's, you say, oh, if any two, you know, you need, I mean, anything confirmed by two or three, you know, then let it be established. Well, sometimes, yes, but not always. I mean, we see there's a story in 1 Kings chapter 22, right? You know, so in that story, you will see that concept of, oh, majority is right. No, majority is not always right. You know, so in this story, you know, you may have read it, and I'll show you multiple stories similar to this. You know, let's start at 1 Kings chapter 26, you know, and, chapter 22, sorry, verse 6. You know, the king of Israel gathered prophets together, you know, 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver thee into the hand. Now, these were prophets, you know, and they, 400 of them, you only needed three, you know, if three, by the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. So you only needed three, but 400 of them say exactly the same thing. I mean, that is amazing, you know, so that's confirmation beyond any shadow of doubt. You know, but yet, you know, Jehoshaphat, you know, said to Ahab, look, I mean, there's something just wasn't right. I mean, how could 400 people be saying the same thing in the name of the Lord, and you're still saying, nah, is there somebody else? Jehoshaphat didn't trust them. You know, there was something inside. I said, look, is there somebody else that we can inquire of the Lord? Is there another prophet? Are you kidding me? 400 prophets just spoke, you know. And then he said, okay, well, there is yet one man, he's called Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I don't trust him, you know, because he never says any good thing about him. And say, oh, Jehoshaphat said, oh, no, don't say that. Because I think Jehoshaphat may have heard of this Micaiah. I don't know. He said, yeah, bring him here, let's hear him. You know, so they call for this Micaiah, you know, and he goes, you know, and when they, you know, call for Micaiah, they said to him, look, you know, the messenger said to him, look, tell us good things, because everybody else has told good things. You know, let your king be, let your word be the same as their own, and so forth. You know, tell us these good things. You know, Micaiah said, look, as the Lord God liveth, I will say whatever he tells me. I don't care what everybody else says. You know, so before he got there, Zedekiah, who was another prophet, but one of the chief prophets, he made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with this shall thou push the Syrians until you have consumed them. I mean, you know, and it looked good. He was even acting it out, and he was doing all kinds of things. So anyway, Micaiah came there. They asked him, okay, what say you? And Micaiah said, yeah, go up to to the battle and win. The Lord will prosper. And he knew that he was speaking with a tongue in a cheek, because the way he said it, and he knew that nothing ever good came out of this guy concerning him. So he said, look, how many times have I told you not to tell me anything other than exactly what the Lord said? I mean, don't tell me what the Lord said. He said, well, your prophet said so go and do it. He said, no, you tell me. So he said, look, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep having not a shepherd. The Lord said, this one have no master, and so on. My goodness. You know, and he said, began to say, he said, look, the Lord was having a conference. He sat upon his throne and he said, who is going to go down there to persuade Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead? You know, and when I read this one time, the Lord showed me that, wow, even though this was a bad thing, there's also a revelation in here that when you are really believing God for something, the Lord might call a counsel and get one of those angels, hey, you know, go down there. My daughter, she's, you know, standing over there believing, and she's crying. Go down there and make sure it happens for her. You know, so, you know, that's a good side of it. But we see the bad side here. The Lord said, look, who's going to go and deceive these guys so he can go and fall and grab Gilead? Wow. That is a terrible thing. And one person came, you know, one, you know, the spirit came and said, I will do this. And so the Lord said, how will you do it? You know, and said, no. You know, another one said this, and he said, how did he say no? That's not going to work. So one other spirit came forth. He said, look, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. Aha! You know, then the Lord said, yeah, you go forth and do it. You know, so, well, I don't know whether it was a good spirit or bad spirit, but he said, I will be a lying spirit. And so he went, you know, and jumped on top of all of the 400 prophets, and they were all saying the same thing, but it was a lying spirit. My goodness. And so Zedekiah came and smote this Micaiah man and smote him on the, you know, I mean, this is a big prophet. Zedekiah, the chief of the prophets. And he said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to you? I mean, I am here. Who are you to speak, you know, when I have spoken? Oh, he smote the guy and everything. And he said, look, you know, and the king said, look, put this man in prison. I don't like this Micaiah guy. Feed him with the bread of affliction until I come back. Micaiah returned and said, look, if you return at all, because the king said, until I return in peace. And Micaiah said, look, if you return at all, then the Lord has not spoken by me. So the man went, but he was somehow afraid, you know, because of what Micaiah said. So he disguised himself. And despite disguising himself, and even told, you know, Jehoshaphat, you wear your own crown. Let everyone know you are king. Wear your robe. But I'm going to despise myself. But I don't trust this Micaiah guy. So, but despite disguising himself anything, the word of the Lord came to pass nonetheless. Somebody shot an arrow at random and killed him. So anyway, that's the story. But you can see the 400 prophets, you know, versus one prophet. So majority is not always right, you know, and this one prophet, he stood right there, you know, so he didn't, you know, he really didn't care. Oh, there's another story in Jeremiah chapter 28. This one is Jeremiah, you know, versus Ananiah. This one we just read was Zedekiah versus Micaiah, right? And then in Jeremiah 28, there's another story similar to that, you know, where in this time around, it's two other players here, but it was the same thing, you know. Somebody prophet, you know, this other guy was a political prophet, saying that all good things will happen and so forth like that. Don't worry about it, you know. And he said, look, you know, the Lord is going to break the yoke of the king of Babylon within 2 full years. All these things and so forth. You know, say the Lord is going to break the yoke of Babylon. And Jeremiah said, look, if the prophets before us have spoken evil against this people, and you come now and speak good, well, let the word of that prophet be fulfilled. You know, say, look, you know, if your word be fulfilled, that's great. You know, say the prophets that have been before me and of thee of old, that's Jeremiah 28 and verse 8, have prophesied against many countries and against kingdoms and evil and so forth. Now, the prophet which prophesies of peace when the Lord has spoken evil, when the word of that prophet shall come to pass, then let the prophet be known. So Ananiah took the yoke off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. He was angry. You know, break it. And said, look, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar the prophet and so forth. And within 2 full years, I will do this. I said, okay, fine. But it was not the case. You know, so, you know, look, just because somebody is prophesying good doesn't mean it's from the Lord. You know, and there this Hananiah prophet and the Zedekiah and the other 400, they were all prophesying good. Yeah, go up and prosper. Yeah, do this and so forth. Yeah, it's your season of prophecy. It's your season of blessings, this and that. You know, and then just look, so many prophets are risen today that are prophesying good. There's nobody that gives a warning. That people should choose God as their chief joy. Everybody, your prophesy, you know, pursue this, pursue that. You're going to your season of blessings, your season of this, your season of that. Okay, good. Well, God wants to bless us, but not all of that is necessarily from the Lord. You know, so there's also, you know, Elijah versus 450 prophets of the group. Well, we know that those ones were bad anyway. So Elijah taunted them and told them to call upon the name of their gods. You know the story in 1 Kings 18. And it never happened. You know, so just because there is a large group of people against, you know, a small number, doesn't mean the large group is right. It's all I'm trying to show here. You know, then there is the case of the greater prophet, you know, and the greater, you know, I mean, these are renowned men of God. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 13, and I love that story. And unfortunately, that story doesn't tell us the name of the young man, but you know, just says, well, the Lord sent him to go and do something, you know, and he went and prophesied against the altar, right? He said, there came a man out of Judah with the word of the Lord unto Bethel, you know, and during the days of Jeroboam and so forth, you know, and he cried against the altar and, you know, said, look, he gave a prophecy and he prophesied about Josiah and so on that will come, who's going to cut down all the place and so forth. He said, this is the sign. You know, this altar shall be rent and so forth. Well, the thing came to pass as the man said it. But the Lord had warned this guy, you know. But before that, you know, somebody, you know, it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar in Bethel. He put forth his hand from the altar saying, lay hold on him, you know, because he didn't want to hear that judgment, you know, and the hand that he put forth was dried up. This is 1 Kings 13, verse 4. And his hand could not, I mean, all of a sudden his hand was just withered. Couldn't pull it in again. And the altar was also rent and everything, just like the man of God prophesied. But the God had told him, look, when you finish your job, you know, don't stop by anywhere. Don't eat anywhere. Don't do anything. Just return the same place you came. You know, and so the king, who were not begging him, said, look, come home with me, I'll give you a reward. He said, no, God had told me not to do it. Okay, so, you know, now he was not deceived by the king because he knew the king was not a godly man. So that didn't bother him at all. He was able to quickly, you know, understand that, look, this man, you know, was telling me something different than what God told me. So that didn't bother him at all. He didn't yield his ground. Okay. But you know, he went his way. But then in that same place, now remember, the king tried to dissuade him from what the Lord told him, but he wouldn't because he knew the king was not a man of God. But then there was a man of God, a greater man of God, an older prophet, a big brother, you know, that came around and said to him, you know, well, come to me to my house, you know, and so forth. And he said, well, I may not come. You know, told him in verse 16, I may not come. I may not go here or there. I may not eat any bread and so forth. You know, for it was told me by the word of the Lord, don't do this and don't do that. You know, and then the man said to him, I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spake to me the word of the Lord. Now, listen to this. This is very critical. This man, this older prophet, big brother, big prophet, known, renowned, told him, you know, that the word of the Lord came to me to bring him back and so forth. The angel spoke to me and so forth. You know, but the Bible says, but he lied unto him. My goodness. He lied. I mean, why? Why would he lie? Well, at that moment, he was operating under a lying spirit. But the young prophet was deceived. Why? Because he was coming from a big prophet. When the king was trying to tell him the same thing, come to my house, he said no. Because he could discern that one a mile away, because the guy was not even a believer. Now, when an older prophet came and told him the same thing to try to dissuade him from the Lord, he was deceived because he let his guard down. Folks, this man let his guard down. God already told him one thing. And just because, you know, somebody else, another prophet or whatever, you know, a big renowned person came around, told them something, you know, and then they just let their guard down and they followed. So when they came to the house, but the man was lying. So when they came to the house, the same man that deceived him prophesied judgment against him. While they were eating, it came to pass that the man said to him, that whereas thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place of which the Lord said to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. Oh my goodness. Remember what we read in Ezekiel chapter 14. You know, if the Lord be deceived, I mean, if a prophet be deceived, I, the Lord that deceived him, will also destroy him. You know, so, you know, and why was he deceived? Because he came from a prophet, came from a big known person. So he was deceived and a lion ate him up. But I also noticed that this young prophet did not cry unto the Lord for mercy. You know, I've seen many people in that Bible when the Lord just pronounced judgment against them, they don't cry for mercy and they just let it be. And then they are destroyed. But people who cry for mercy, God always has mercy. David repented before the Lord in the case of Uriah and Bathsheba. And even though he was judged, the son, the child died and so forth, but God restored him. You know, we see the story in the life of Jonah and the people of Nineveh. And Jonah prophesied destruction against those people. You know, 200,000 or so more of those people, you know, turned their hearts towards God, you know, and they, you know, they turned their hearts towards God and God had mercy upon them. You know, but sometimes when prophecy comes of judgment against people, they just take it like that. And they don't even cry to God for mercy. And so this young prophet in 1 Kings 13 just took it like that. He did not even, he could have fallen down on his face, Lord, I am sorry, I disrespected your word, I disobeyed, and so forth, and cry his heart out before the Lord. And the Lord would have forgiven him, but he didn't. He just took it like that. And of course, the lion met him and slew him. You know, so that's another lesson. You know, when the Lord commands judgment or because of his righteousness, don't just stand there and take it like that. You know, fall upon your face and cry for mercy, because you know our God will abundantly pardon. He's a God of mercy when people call unto him. Let us return unto the Lord. Let us rent our hearts and not just our garments, for our God will have mercy and he will abundantly pardon. So there's a lot of interesting stories here. Now, with all of these things that I'm saying, does it mean we should despise prophesying? No. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 20 to 21 will tell you that. Despise not prophesying. So we don't despise prophesying, but he says, prove everything. Put everything to the test. You know, check it out. You know, that's why I put in the title of this room, you'll see I put some check marks there. That means check it out. You know, don't just take it like that, as if that's, you know, whatever it is hook, line, sinker. No, you know, it could have been hook, you know, just because the man is a known prophet doesn't even mean that he's telling, you know, the word of the Lord each time. This man that deceived the young prophet was a known prophet, you know, but he lied in this situation. And that's a terrible situation. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 20 and 21, despise not prophesying. In fact, the first previous verse says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. You know, we don't despise prophesying, but you have to prove it. You have to test the spirit, you know, and so forth. You know, but you hold fast to that which is good. Hallelujah. You know, so where are we with all of these things? Well, what we are saying here is this. You know, we got to have our spiritual senses keen to discern good and evil. You know, most of the time, you learn that through experience. You know, so not everything that glitters is gold, as people say. Just because something sounds good doesn't mean it's from the Lord. You know, and more so, we need to learn to hear from God ourselves. Now, we're in the New Testament now, folks. We're not in the Old Testament. We are children and we are not bastards. I don't need God to be sending me somebody to tell me something. He can speak directly to me. Who am I? I mean, that my God Father cannot speak to me. Why does he go and have to go and tell somebody? I mean, that person has two heads. What about me? You know, so you don't need, look, if God were to send anybody to tell you anything about yourself, it'll only be a confirmation. It will not be the first time that you are hearing it. It cannot be. You know, God will speak directly, unless you don't want to hear his voice. God will speak directly to you yourself. You know, so, and you know, just because somebody says something, don't worry about it. You know, here's another thing. Just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, are we responsible for everything that somebody claims? Of course not. If somebody came and said, thus saith the Lord, that they, you know, Lord told them. Well, not that people don't say, thus saith the Lord these days. They just say, the Lord told me, God told me. Everybody says that these days. Fine. If God told you, that's fine. That's your business. It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't concern me. You know, but if you come to the church and say God said that the church should do this and that, then that's a problem. That's something that I would challenge to see if it is according to the word of God. If you told me that the Lord told you go and do some crazy thing yourself in your life, who cares? That's between you and God. I'm not even going to scratch my head about that one. You know, that's up to you. You can go and do any crazy thing that God's telling you to do. That's God has told people to do crazy things in that Bible. But you cannot now come and make it a doctrine. You know, you can't make it a doctrine. God told Hosea to go and marry a harlot. You know, he told Isaiah to walk naked. He told Jeremiah, you know, these people to lie down on their sides for many, many days. You know, I mean, God told people to do crazy things. That's between them and God. But you cannot bring that now to the house of God and try to make it a doctrine and say everybody should do it. You know, now, God may tell somebody, you know, to go and, you know, pray over some bottle of water and so forth and drink it and do the, hey, good. That's no problem. That's you. Now, if you now bring that thing into the church and say, hey, God said everybody should go and drink this water and do this. No. If I'm there, I would say no. You know, no. You know, God may have told you that and that's fine. But you can't tell us that because that's not according to scripture. You know, so we don't need to be doing things that not according to scripture just because somebody said so. And there's a lot of people that just stand up today and say, God said, and then the whole congregation will just follow. There's no discernment. There's nobody to challenge it. You know, and God just said. So you go into this room, they say, you know, God said you should sow. You know, a prophet stands up and say, for your miracle, you got to sow $300. For this miracle, you got to sow $700. And they put a price on everything. And then people just follow just because somebody said. And it could be a prophet that has said things that have come to pass before. You know, so we read that in the Bible already. They said things and it came to pass. They said some things, you know, they call out some things in their life. Maybe it's true or not. I don't know. You know, and then all of a sudden, people just follow sheepishly, you know, until they lose everything. You know, the proverb says, look, as a bird hasteneth to the snare and does not know that it's for his life, so does a fool hasten to the stocks and doesn't know that he's going to get burnt. You know, people just hasten to this thing. You know, they dangle something in front of people. It looks good. They hasten to it. You know, I went to one place. One young lady came on this app and she was asking for prayer. And she told her story that she went into one of these rooms and somehow she was cajoled. She gave everything she had. And then she began to be in want and she couldn't pay her rent. And then, you know, the other room she came to, people began to pray for her. They began to raise money. I'm like, what kind of prayer is that? Why are you praying? This person needs wisdom. You know, the prayer you should be praying is wisdom and discretion and spiritual discernment and sound judgment. That's what you need. You know, you don't need anybody telling you, cajoling you to give all your money. And then you go and give all your money. And then after that, you know, you have nothing. Pay your rent. And I don't know how people can be so foolish, you know. I mean, people just get drawn into these things. You know, I don't know why. Well, I know why, because I already said it here. Because people don't want to hear from the Lord themselves. And then the next thing you know, it becomes a golden calf. They say, well, this Moses is not there, so let's do something else. When you don't want to hear from God, it may be turned into a golden calf. You know, and it will be something else. Hear from God yourself. Glory to God. This is the antidote to all of this spirit of error that is out there. The antidote to soothsaying and all of these things is also John chapter 3, verse 8, sorry. That's the antidote. Jesus said, they cannot discern your lie. But if you go and submit to them, then they can discern. You know, there are people who I've heard a story of somebody who was pregnant, you know, and went and submitted to some soothsayer. And then, you know, that baby had problems when they were born, you know, and all these kind of things, you know. So you got to be careful, really careful here, you know, how we do these things. You know, God said also, listen to this, you know, and then some prophets actually use fear also, you know, fear. You know, I remember one time I was in a local fellowship and, one so-called prophet jumped up and was trying to use fear to terrorize the people, you know. And the thing went on for a little bit until I got fed up with it. I was like, no, enough is enough. I had to stand up and say, look, enough is enough. And I put that person in their place, you know, like, look, you know, this is not the spirit of God. You know, if you can trying to use fear to terrorize people is witchcraft, or trying to control people, or trying to make people do things, you know, the way that you want it. That's witchcraft. You can't control anybody. The Holy Spirit is the only person that can control people. You know, anybody that's trying to be controlling and trying to tell people, you know, what to do in cunning ways and get them to do stuff like that. And the stuff that they're trying to tell them to do is not to worship God. If somebody is trying to persuade you to worship God, that's great. You know, Paul was a great persuader. You know, when he was before Agrippa and Felix and all of them, he said, oh, Paul, that almost persuaded me to be a Christian. He said, yeah, you know. So if they're trying to persuade you to follow the Lord, that's a good thing. But if they're trying to cajole you to do some crazy stuff, better be very careful. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, chapter 44, the Lord said, I am the Lord God that stretch forth the heavens by myself. Glory to God. You know, and he said, look, I formed thee in the womb. Verse 24. I make all things. I spread out the heaven above by myself, and I frustrate the tokens of liars. Glory to God. I make diviners to be mad, and I turn wise men backward and make their knowledge foolish. You know, this is the way I stand. If somebody comes and prophesies something in the name of the Lord that is contrary to my life, my health, my family, or whatever, I reject it in the name of the Lord. Because according to Numbers 23 and 23, and according to this verse that I'm reading here, you know, God frustrates the tokens of the liars. There is no divination against Israel, no enchantment against Jacob. Glory to God. But people try to use these fear tactics, put people in fear and so forth. They prophesy fear. So, you know, they even prophesy. And this fellowship that I said I was at that time, this person was even prophesying death. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Try to prophesy fear of death on the person. He said, well, the Lord, you know, showed me this and that, you know, that this will happen and so forth. And during a time such as this and so forth. And then, you know, the death. We're trying to bring death in that other person's family and say, God, show them. And I'm waiting. I'm just waiting to see whether they're going to pray. But they didn't pray. They're just trying to show that they are some prophet. And I came out of there and rebuked that thing. I said, that's nonsense. You can't come out here and put fear in the heart of the people and so forth like that. You know, God showed you that thing. Go into your closet and pray. Pray through until you pray it through. Don't come and tell anybody. You don't need to tell somebody that. You're not going to put fear on them. And it wasn't true anyway. It wasn't true. You know, the thing that he said, the time that he said it, it didn't happen. Anyway, because we came out there that day. I came out that day and I rebuked that spirit and I prayed against it. And I said, I don't care about whether it's a spirit or divination or anything. A peeping spirit. I called it out. It's a peeping and it's a muttering spirit. And I canceled it in Jesus' name. And it didn't come to pass. You know, so don't fall for any of this nonsense. Cancel it right away. You know, but you won't know that it's nonsense if you don't have your senses exercised. And if you don't know, God, that person was not speaking according to the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. My thoughts toward you are for peace. Look, now God may bring warning. That's okay. But, you know, if you are a child of God walking in the spirit, God already told you, and it's still your decision. You know, you don't need, there's no fear at all, you know, about anything. You know what to do and all that, you know. So, you know, there's a story in, I believe it's, I don't know, maybe Acts 13 or so, you know, and there was this guy, you know, there was this, you know, guy, Agabus was a prophet. He came around, you know, and he took the girdle of Paul. He saw the girdle in the room and he said, look, you know, he said, you know, this is how, you know, the Jews will bind the man that owns this girdle when he goes to Jerusalem. And he will be bound. And he bound himself with the girdle and everything. And Paul said, yeah, I know it, but I'm going anyway. Praise God. You know, Paul was not afraid, you know, to be, you know, just because, you know, somebody said, you know, you're going to, you know, you're going to be bound when you get to. He said, Paul, yeah, I know it already. The Lord already told me that I'm going to suffer many things for his name's sake. So what? You know, so Paul went anyway. You know, I mean, don't let anybody bring fear into your hearts and so forth like that. You know, so the things that we need to do is, first of all, we need to know the word of God. We need to know the word of God. And then we also need to, you know, have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. If we have our senses exercised like that to discern good and evil, you know, yeah. So we will do. So let me read a scripture to us. All right. So Acts 21, let me read verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Right? Yeah. Thank you for posting that. Agabus. And he took Paul's girdle and he said, you know, that thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind this man with this girdle, and he shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. You know, and when we heard these things, everybody, fear fell upon their heart, and everybody was scared. You know, and they said, don't go. Don't go. They decided to tell Paul, don't go. This thing is going to happen to you in Jerusalem because of what this man said. And this man was a great prophet. He had prophesied, you know, before of, you know, of famine and so forth that would take place in the land. And it took place. So he prophesied this thing also, you know. But Paul said, look, why are you crying to break my heart? I know that this will happen to me, but I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem. For God already told him what things he must suffer for the name of the Lord's sake. So he wasn't bound with fear. You know, even though this was even a good prophet, and he was saying the truth, when you get to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you, you know, and so forth. Well, it's still your choice, you know, of whether you want to go or not. You know, God doesn't, you know, put fear. It was just a caution. It wasn't to put fear in their hearts and so forth. So anything that anybody comes and tells you in the name of the Lord, you know, then look, you know, you got to be careful how you respond to it. You know, you got to be careful how you respond to it. I remember when I was a young man, you know, I was in a group where everybody was telling somebody else that the Lord told them that they're going to be their wife or their husband or this and that. Well, it was mostly the men. And I used to oppose those things in those days. And there was, you know, there was a sister that was with me that I was trying to teach, you know, and people would come to her and say, well, you know, one time about 7 people came to her and said that the Lord told them that she was going to be their wife. 7 people? So, look, I tell you something. And I said, look, either they are all lying or at most one of them is correct. The 2 of them cannot be correct. You know, or they are mostly, I think, I tell you, they're probably all wrong anyway. But I said, look, it's still your choice. You know, what somebody else claims that God told them, that's their own choice. That's their own responsibility. God told them that. Did God tell you that? You know, so if you want, you seek the Lord, if God tells you, fine. If God doesn't tell you, then God didn't tell you. You know, don't let anybody tell you. You know, I remember even my wife that we're married together today, before we got married, you know, I was, you know, this, she was not the one I was talking about just now, but, you know, I remember also, you know, she had some experience about somebody telling her or trying to tell her that the Lord told them to marry them and so forth. And she didn't like the man. And of course she didn't, you know, so. You know, and, well, and I'm glad that she married me today, you know, so, but, you know, it's your choice. Look, we have the Spirit of God, except we are reprobate. He said, the Spirit of God is in you, except you be reprobate. Are you reprobate? You have the Spirit of God? If you have the Spirit of God, then use discernment. You know, allow the Spirit of God to walk in you. Don't fall for any of these things, which we have called out today. You know, walk in the Spirit of God. Now, Does it mean that everything that anybody says in the name of the Lord is wrong? Of course not. We've covered that also. Despise not prophesying. Somebody might say something and it may be true. You know, somebody may tell you that, you know, the Lord told them that they're going to be your wife or husband or whatever. And it may be true, but it's your choice. You got to figure it out. You got to hear from God. Glory to God. People don't know how to hear from God. And if you don't know how to hear from God, I told my children when they were growing up that, look, if you're trying to get married and you don't know how to hear from God, but you know that marriage is such an important thing and you want to hear from God. And the first time you're going to hear from God is about your marriage. I said, you are going to make a mistake. So I used to tell them, you are going to make a mistake because you don't know the voice of God. You need to learn the voice of God. Samuel was a young man. He was an altar boy, but he didn't know the voice of God. You know, his mother, Hannah, gave him up to the Lord because of her promise. And also he went to the house of God under Eli, you know, and he was there, you know, sleeping in the temple, sleeping by the altar all the day. But he didn't know the voice of God. God called him in the night. He didn't know it was God. He ran to Eli. He said, did you call me? The man said, no, go to sleep. About three or so times, Eli finally figured out God must be calling this young man. So Eli told him, you know, so it's okay. We can be taught, you know, how to hear the voice of God. But Eli told him how to hear the voice of God, how to respond, you know. But you still have to go hear that voice yourself. You can't, you know, it's not Eli that's going to tell you. You know, so, but Eli told him, look, hey, listen, next time God calls you, or next time you hear that voice, it's got to be God. You know, so you say this and this, and then he'll speak to you. And so the man figured it out. And once he finally figured out how God was talking to him, then he started to say, oh, and then from that time on, and God said to Samuel, 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 he didn't doubt anymore. He already knew the voice of God. I told my kids, don't wait until the biggest decision in your life before you try to figure out whether it's God telling you. Or you're liable to make a mistake. Learn every day. You know, speak to the Holy Ghost. You know, when you're about to do, even in things that are irrelevant, even things that don't matter. You know, you want to go out, say, should I wear blue or green? Ask the Holy Ghost. When you're in the store, talk to him. Even in things that are irrelevant, that you think that it doesn't matter. If I wear green or blue, so what does it matter? Well, just ask him. You know, practice his presence. Practice these things, and it can matter. You know, yeah, it can matter. I've heard stories, even myself included, where the Holy Ghost told you to wear something one day, and you say, well, it doesn't matter. But you did it anyway. You know, and then later on you go into a place and somebody said, you know, Lord showed me that you're coming and you're wearing this dress or this color. And so, you know, your little disobedience, I mean, your little obedience was a confirmation for them for something, you know. So, everything, you know, whether little or small, let's practice the presence of God. Now, I'm going to round it up here. I've said a lot today, but I'm going to round it up right here. You know, the lesson today is this. Look, we need to hear from God ourselves. And then we need to know how to respond when we hear what somebody else claims is the voice of God. You need to know how to use spiritual discernment, you know, and also, you know, I didn't get too deep into this, you know, discernment of spirits, which is a gift today, but it's also there. You know, there are many things there that we can learn today. So we've covered a lot of spectrum and we're going to pray. You know, there's even things that are going on in the world that people don't have spiritual discernment, like this Halloween thing that is happening here in the United States. And I hear that even countries around the world, they're picking up this thing, Halloween now. And today, I believe it's Halloween day here. You know, and there are some people that say they are believers or Christians. Well, maybe, I don't know what kind of Christian they are. I mean, we will celebrate these things. They allow their children to celebrate these things. And they don't even know the kind of witchcraft spirit that is behind that. You know, all these witches, they rejoice to come out at Halloween time. They just rejoice, you know. And some of these people in America, they don't even know these things. One time somebody came to my house. He was a handyman, a plumber or something like that. I don't know what he was doing. He came to repair something and told me that, oh, you know, and I was starting to talk to him about the Lord and so on. I said, oh, that, yeah, he's actually going on a missionary trip with his church to someplace in Africa, you know, and I looked at him from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. I said, you're going to Africa? I said, yeah. I said, are you prayed up? He looked at me funny. I said, look, I said, this all this stuff that you guys play with here that you think is just Mickey Mouse stuff and then you play with it, that's real stuff. And you go to Africa, real voodoo. So you better know what you are doing. I scared the man out of his boots that day. I said, look, you better be prayed up. You know, you go into some of these villages to try to preach the gospel. If you are not prayed up, they will get you. I said, but if you got the power of God, they can't get you. You know, so, you know, we say that to say this. Not that we should be afraid of the power of the Lord. The Lord's power is greater. There's definitely evil powers. Halloween is evil power, the powers of darkness. They come out, you know, and it's so amazing that in the United States, everybody will celebrate it. But talk about the name of Jesus. Oh, no. You can't talk about the name of Jesus. You can't talk about Jesus in schools. My wife was a teacher for many years, you know, and so forth like that. And she, you know, she would talk about Jesus. That's what she talked about when it was Halloween, you know, and because she said, oh, no, you can't talk about Halloween, of Jesus, but you can talk about witchcraft. And people are so happy to come out and tell you they're a witch, do all of these things, put all these witchcraft things in front of their house and so forth. You know, but you can't do that, you know, if you're a believer. I put Jesus sign in front of my house here in my neighborhood. It's been there forever. You know, they say you can't do that. It's there forever. Let somebody come and touch it. Glory to God. You know, because these people, Halloween now, my wife and I go for a walk. I see all these crazy things that people put in front of their house. Well, in front of my house, it says Jesus is Lord. And it says a couple of things we put out there that just is permanently there. You know, people see it. One time, two people have seen it, and one person saw it one day and came and knocked at the door because they saw that sign. You know, it was a sign that said something about the Lord. You know, so look, we got to use discernment. So we're going to pray against the spirit of Halloween today. We're going to pray against, you know, the spirit of falsehood, false prophesying, lying spirits, and so forth like that. We're going to pray that God will open the eyes of the people. And we're going to pray for ourselves, that we will learn to hear the word of God ourselves so that we will not be deceived. You know, that's the bottom line to this. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And God bless you. Before I begin to go into prayers, I want to get reactions. Reactions. You know, I know I've been speaking for quite a while, but nobody else has said anything because I was speaking. So I'm going to let you say stuff now. And thank you for patiently listening. And, you know, I see that only my wife is on stage at the moment. But if you want to come to stage and give your reaction, please come. I always love to hear people in our rooms give their reaction, you know. So, you know, I am just a one man, but I'm not the only person that can speak in these rooms. We like people to speak in our rooms. I like to give my lesson, do my teaching, but then I like other people to contribute. There may be an angle that you're going to bring out that will, you know, enhance something that we've said and so on and so forth. And you may be able to share a perspective or give a testimony or something, you know, that can help the people. So if you are in the room and you want to come, just raise your hand. We will bring you to the stage and you will be able to share with us. And I trust that, you know, you have engaged God. As I say in some of my rooms, you got to engage in the spirit. You cannot engage in the flesh. If you engage in the flesh, it will mean nothing to you. So I trust that you engage this message in the spirit. And there's also opportunity for you to go back and listen later on. So I'm going to let people who are on stage now come in and speak. Thank you, Sister Lola, for coming. I know my wife has a lot to say, but maybe you want to go last. That's fine. She said that before. So Lola, thank you for being here. God bless you. Your thoughts.
Good morning, Pastor Yato and Mommy Ebun and everybody in the room. Thank you so much for this topic. It's so timely. I believe that there's so much deception and lack of discernment happening now, but even in churches, like there's just deceptive spirit happening, and I just hear it. But I wanted to share a quick testimony that's just right in line with this. I guess a testimony and a lesson learned, and how hearing from God is vital, 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 vital. Like we cannot, you know, have discernment without the Holy Spirit, and we will be deceived without following the voice of the Lord. I mean, Jesus said, he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So it's vital. But I just wanted to share, there was about 2 years ago, somebody had approached me, a family friend, which very close, had approached me for a relationship. And so, you know, I was just thinking about it, praying about it. And I remember this was my mom, you know, my mom, she's much better now. My mom is a woman of God, but she's always like a very respected pastors, anybody who has that position, right? Now, me, I respect everybody, but the Lord has already taught me, shown me how vital it is to hear his voice. And so that's how I've been kind of moving. So anyway, I remember when he approached me, it was just kind of like, well, I don't really know. Let me pray about it and let me see. It was just kind of like, well, let's see how this goes. Let's go slowly and then I'll make a final decision. And so I remember my mom had called a couple pastors and prophets and, you know, people, and all of them had said yes. Oh, congratulations. Yes, this person is for you. This, that, and the third. Okay. And I was just like, okay. And also there was this fear. Now I know it was fear because that's what the Holy Spirit revealed after. But before, I didn't realize that it was fear that was kind of pushing me in that direction. However, through the whole time, it was almost like maybe 8 months that we had this relationship. It wasn't great. And I didn't have peace. I was always in confusion. I could not commit to this relationship because it was always something that was throwing me. I just did not have peace. So I remember in January, I always do like a 21 day fasting. And I was like, I'm fasting and praying for this 21 days. And I told the person to let's do it. And they weren't really doing it. You know, I was always having a question. And I remember during that time of fasting and praying, just like, God, I need to hear your voice because this is kind of crazy. That's when I started seeing things more clearly. I always recommend fasting because your spiritual senses sharpen when you are in fasting and prayer. And literally I had prayed and I said, Lord, I just need you to reveal what something is. Anyway, cut a long story short. By the end of that, my spirit was completely out of it. Like, no, this is not the will of God. And I cut the relationship off. After I cut the relationship off, you know, I felt this like guilt. And so I had to pray. I had to pray so much. And I remember when I really got a breakthrough, the Lord told me, I have been speaking to you for so long. Why did you start listening to other people? And that for me was just like, wow, because a lot of times, just like what you said, Pastor, like, many times we might see people, oh, this one is a prophet. This is a pastor. They might be, they must be right, right? They must be whatever. And I felt like that's what my mom, even though she wasn't at peace with it too. And it just taught me how vital it is that we can't look at anybody and say, oh, they're a pastor. They must be right. No, God speaks to us directly. And it's so vital that we make sure that we learn the voice of the Lord. How does God speak to us? And take every single word back to him. And that's what I tell everybody now. It doesn't matter what anybody says to you. If it's not confirming what God has already said to you, you need to go right back to the Father. You need to get in prayer and allow the Lord to either confirm that word or reject that word. Because Jesus came so we could have relationship with God. There's no more kings and priests. Jesus is the king, the priest, and the prophet. He plays all those roles. So the middleman is cut off. And it's so vital that we hear from God ourselves. So I just wanted to share that. It was a lesson, but also a testimony, but it was great because it really strengthened my focus in making sure that it's just, I'm hearing from God all the time. And if I'm not hearing from God, then I'm not moving in whatever direction it seems. So I just want to say this is a powerful teaching and it's so necessary for this time because there are a lot of deceptive spirits, a lot of false prophets, a lot of false people just saying things that are completely not the will of God. They're using scripture. However, they're manipulating scripture to try to get people to do different things. And it's terrible. So it's just, this is so good. And thank you for this topic. Thank you for this room.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Lola, for sharing. That is so powerful. You know, we are responsible for what God tells us. We're not responsible for what God tells somebody else. At least I'm not. You know, I've always told people, look, I am not responsible for what you say that God tells you. That's you. If God wants me to be responsible, he should tell me. you know, the same thing, you know. So if he tells me, then I'm responsible. If he doesn't tell me and he told you and you told me, well, you know, I mean, you know, that's you, you know. So, you know, personal things, I'm talking about personal things now. God can speak to the church, you know, corporately, you know, and so forth like that. But in the church, we have more than one or two people to discern. You know, and that's why, you know, I've always been opposed to these, you know, people, you know, having personal prophet go here and there and all that. You know, one time many years ago, we just started our local church here, you know, in Phoenix. And one guy came off the street and parading himself into our service as a prophet. And he was calling people aside and trying to prophesy to him, to them, which when I noticed, I went to the guy and said, no. If you have a word of prophecy, declare it here so that all of us can hear. And then we'll be able to judge, you know. And so anyway, you know, then I called him later after his service because I got his number. And then, you know, he told me that, who am I? You know, he asked me, say, who are you? You are just a pastor. And in his words, say, I'm a prophet, you know, and that I'm higher than you because I'm a prophet and you are a pastor and this and that. And he said that, look, I cannot tell him, you know, that he can tell what the Lord. And I'm like, you know, really? At my church? I told the guy, I said, look, the next time you come to my service, you can sit down in the audience like everybody else. But if you try to carry on this thing, I will have you arrested. This is the United States. I said, I will have you arrested the next time you do it. And he was so furious. He started to tell me this and that he's a prophet and I'm a pastor, so he's above me. Anything he says goes. And I just love the guy. I said, you know, you come and do that. You come and do that again at my church. I will have you arrested. Well, that was the last time I saw the guy, you know. And the reason he was going around like that, he couldn't, you know, they kicked him out of wherever he was before because of that, you know, spirit that he had. He could not have a place to stay. And then just wandering around looking for whom he might devour. You know, devour anybody in my congregation, you know, as for someplace else, you know. So this business of people, you know, pulling you aside, telling you the word of the Lord and stuff like that. Yeah, that's okay. But you must know you must yourself know the word of the Lord, you know, and so forth. But, you know, if I have anything to say about it, people are not going to do that in my congregation. I don't want this, you know, personal prophecy and stuff like that. You know, God, you speak to you yourself. God can send them to confirm. That's great. You know, God can send them, even God can send somebody to bring a warning. That's great too. But he can tell it to you. I mean, why does he need to go tell somebody? Why can't he tell it to you? I mean, we've seen that in the Bible. You know, when God wanted to save even the life of the little boy Jesus, he came in a dream to Joseph at night. You know, why can't God tell it to you directly? Why's God be somebody else? You know, so, but, not saying that God cannot tell somebody else, but if it is something else, I mean, if it is something that has to do with your life and life decisions, then God must tell you first, and somebody can only confirm, or, you know, or you get confirmation like Sister Lola said, you make sure you get confirmation. You know, if it is something for the church, somebody stands up and said, you know, God said that we should do this and we should do that, you know, fine, but other people should check it out and see if it's the word of God. And if it's not according to the word of God, then let him be silent. It's what the Bible says, you know. So you don't come and tell us do some crazy thing. And people are telling people to do all kinds of crazy things today. And I don't know, people just fall for it, you know. So bring your money, so this and so that and so forth. And I often wonder, you know, people that try to sell these prophecies and stuff like that and tell you that if you can buy this prophecy, you know, this will happen to you. You know, why don't they do the same thing? If you believe that by sowing $500 or $1,000 and so forth, you know, you're going to get this windfall, well, why don't you do it yourself and get the windfall? You know, get off the case of the people, you know, don't make merchandise of the people. If you believe that, you know, if somebody sows $1,000, they will get $10,000. Then you sow that $1,000 to the life of some poor person and let God give you $10,000. But they will not do it, you know, which makes them the least in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, if you teach men something and you yourself don't do it, you will be the least in the kingdom. So I'm not afraid of any of these prophets because they are the least in the kingdom. They do not do what they teach, and their words carry no weight to me at all. I'm not confrontational if I go into places, if it's not my room. You know, I don't bother about it. If I don't like it, the most beautiful thing about this app right here is this button that says, leave quietly. That's the most beautiful button that I learned about this app. I go into some places and I don't like what they are saying. Just leave quietly. You know, you don't need to create any conflict. But if it is my room, oh yeah, then you're going to hear it. Or if you come into the congregation on a, you know, local service and you just do some stuff, then, you know, you're going to hear it. But otherwise, you know, I just move on. I said, look, they are blind leaders of the blind. Let them alone. They will both fall into the ditch. But here's my warning that I say to people. The two people will only fall into the ditch if they are both blind. You know, you're only going to fall into the ditch along with the blind leader if you yourself are blind. So let the leader be blind, but you don't be blind. Open your eyes wide open and you will not fall into the ditch. So they're only both going to fall into the ditch. They're both blind. So thank you, Sister Lola, for sharing. That's amazing. Brother Eduardo, good to see you again. We haven't seen you in a while.
Good morning, man of God, Pastor Yato and Mama Evan. It's always a pleasure to be here in this room. Like, I love your teachings, and I thank God for it. I thank God for it. You know, this topic is very, very, very touching, very important, and I have something to share concerning that. You know, it happened to me a couple years ago. It was probably in 2019, before the pandemic. At the church that I was, you know, our pastor invited a prophet, a so-called prophet. I didn't know this man, but I trust my pastor. Or at least I trust my pastor at that moment, at that time. He's the shepherd of the house. So I was the one that went and get the prophet when he came to preach to our church. So I went to the airport and I went and picked him up and I was talking to him. But I like to ask questions and I like to drink from people. So I asked him one question and it seemed like he didn't give me a convincing, you know, he didn't give me a convincing answer for somebody who's a prophet or somebody who's working with God. I think my question was like, you know, how did you come to know that you were a prophet and how has your work been? And he gave me an answer, but the answer wasn't convincing. I didn't feel right. But I said, okay. You know, we kept on moving. So I took him to a restaurant, he ate, and then the next day he was supposed to minister. But when he came to minister, the word was on point. The word was on point. You can sense, you know, the scriptures and it's bringing things that I've never heard before. But when it came, he would prophesy, but when it came to the solution, because God, the Spirit of God is above all spirit. Like in the book of Daniel, I think it's Daniel 1:28, it says that Daniel had a spirit 10 times better than the magician that were there in Babylon. 10 times better. And we know that the Lord, we can even say that he's 1,000 times better. He's just greater, period. So there is no way you can see a problem and you prophesy and you never bring the solution. So he will tell us, he will promise things. Okay, you know what? I see this. But okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring this stone. I'm going to bring this or whatever. But, and he would not follow his word. He would give us something and then he would not follow it. So I kept on. And then when he would pray, he would just say something like, you know, he would say boom. He touch you and then boom. And that's it. Not in the name of Jesus, nothing. I'm like, bro, what spirit is that? What are you doing? But in the midst of everything, like, you know, that anxiety, you he's preaching the word, he's saying the word, and we're singing songs, and it's difficult, but like, the Lord, one thing I've known about the Spirit of God, God will always reveal. It's true that he said that my sheep knows my voice. If you don't know, it's because you're just being ignorant or we are being ignorant. But he speaks. We are the ones who have to learn, because even in the book of Job, he says that God speaks. He speaks in dreams. He speaks in various ways. But we as men, we are not paying attention to what he's speaking. We are not decoding the sign that God is giving us. So to make a long story short, the man, after preaching, you know, we know it's a couple of things, but he wasn't clicking to us. But we had trust, we trusted our pastor, so we would not think that, you know, our pastor would bring somebody who doesn't know the world or somebody who operating under another spirit. But what happened is, after he went back, he went to his country, and my brother was facing a situation, and he needed a word. And in the ancient time, we see that people, kings went to inquire from the prophet before they went to battle. So inquiring from a prophet is not really a problem, you know. But the only problem is if it is the prophet of God, if it is a true prophet. So my brother, you know, called him. So because he speaks French and I speak French, I had to translate. So I was translating for my brother. And the first thing this guy says, okay, we can pray, we can take this in prayer, whatever, but how much are you going to pay? Because I have a team of people that are going to work with me. How much are you going to pay? Well, I looked at my brother, I said, bro, like, this don't sound good. This don't sound good. Because the Bible says freely you give, freely you receive, freely you shall give. So it didn't sound good. But my brother, you know, he was kind of convincing himself. Now, you know, brother, you know, in the Bible, he says that, you know, you want to see the prophet, you have to take something from the prophet to honor him. And so, you know, I said, okay. We proceeded. My brother proceeded. And look at the deception. So I think my brother paid him. He probably was only able to give him $300. He gave him the money. And... No, I'm sorry. I can't even remember. I think we transferred the money, $300. And in the process, he tells my brother that my brother had to send pictures. And he tells my brother, and people of God, I have this in recording. I have this in recording because he called me and he left the message. We were talking on the message because I had to translate for my brother. And he tells me, and people of God, sorry for my voice. I'm very passionate about the things of God. And he tells me that, look, tell your brother that he needs to send me some pictures. And with the pictures he's going to send me, we're going to put it in the river. And this lady will do whatever your brother says. This lady will marry your brother and she will just be like, she won't even know to do, she will just say yes to your brother. And from that moment, that was a clear sign. If we had any other doubt, my brother came to me and said, brother, yeah, we stop right here. This is not it. This is not the spirit of God. I cannot. This is not the spirit of God. So people of God, that was a clear lesson for me. Like, but I feel sorry that we had to go through that extent to experiment things like that to know, but I know without a shadow of doubt now. That you can't tell me that you're going to throw some pictures. You're a man of God. You operate under the Holy Spirit and you need a picture to pray for somebody. You need a picture. Or you're going to put somebody into some kind of, what they call it? It's like a control mindset. The person is now operating under what she wants to do. This is witchcraft. But this man yet came to our church as a prophet. And we believed because the man of God who was with us, we believed that he was, you know, and not to shame the man of God. I don't know where his heart was at the moment. I don't know if he knew, this man was calling him, was calling my pastor a son, father. And my pastor was calling him a son. So, you know, it's just like he put me in a position where, okay, I cannot even trust you because you're my shepherd. But if you're bringing me, somebody's going to poison me, somebody's going to kill me, then you're not the father. So that is it. I have more to share, but I'm gonna yield here because I know there are more people. So I'm gonna just yield here, Pastor Yato. This is all I wanted to share.
Wow. You know, thank God that you eventually, you know, figured it out. Listen, there are things that are called tokens of the liars, or tokens of liars. You know, when people begin to use these tokens and stuff. You gotta be careful now. So anyway, thank God that you figure it out. And I like what you said about, look, freely you have received, freely you give. You know, there's also room for, you know, people to, you know, the Bible does say that, you know, people feed us spiritual things. We should, you know, also they can also, we can also give them carnal things. So Paul taught that, you know, so that there's a place for all of that, but not because we are demanding for it. There's even people today I hear that will not go and minister anywhere unless first they collect what they call honorarium these days or no, whatever. You know, they got to collect that first. So they've got to tell you how much that honorarium is going to be before they even go and preach. I mean, what's all of that about? It's all a golden calf. It's a bunch of rubbish. And it has tainted, you know, the ministry. And it's all nonsense. And, you know, there's coming a time when the Lord said, my, you know, what did he say? My sift is in my hand, you know, and I will thoroughly purge my floor. I will sift my floor, saith the Lord. You know, it's, you know, there's coming a time, you know, he's got to sift out all this stuff, you know, and we start with little admonitions such as this room to try to get people back on track. Yes, there are indeed good prophets, and there are indeed, you know, the Lord can also send, you don't even have to be a prophet. The Lord can give a true message to somebody that have some real concern about somebody else. And we know that, you know, and so forth like that. So we are not discounting that, you know, but each person must learn to use spiritual discernment on their own. And you must learn how to do discerning of spirits, you know, and so forth like that. So that's what we're talking about today. Thank you for sharing. I'm glad everybody is, you know, sharing. And welcome to the room, Sister Tricia. I want to just go around the room and greet everybody. Welcome, Brother Benjamin, Ludwig. Welcome. Brother Colorful, Sister Grace, Alexis, Sister Gigi, good to see you again. Sister Julia, of course, Brother Binga, all of you, you're all welcome to the room. Any one of you that wants to share, I want you to come to the stage and come and share your thoughts. Come and share your perspective. Even if you have a different perspective, feel free to share. So God bless you, honey. You're up next.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you for all this powerful, powerful message about discerning of the spirit. It's very refreshing. Thank God for the all the contribution. And to my brother, Eduardo, I'll say that by their fruit, you shall know them. When they begin to, when this guy begin to do what exactly is all about, then we know what he's all about. Amen. So one thing that I've learned in all of this, you know, is this, like when you're dealing with people, before I used to be shy, not to be able to respond. You know, if someone says something that does not align with your spirit, you know, it could be an enchantment. You have to refuse it right away. Refuse it. It could even be someone that's close to you that does not even mean to harm you, but they could say something that is negative to what you are believing for. And don't accept it. Immediately change that tone, change that language to positive for your own benefit. You know, for instance, you say, oh, you go for an exam, and somebody say, oh, you might not even pass that exam. They might not mean, they might just be joking. They might say, oh, we're just joking. Immediately refuse it. I say, no, I will. Yes, I will pass the exam. I will pass the exam. I will not fail the exam. So be putting your positive language when someone is trying to play negative with you. So every negativity, I've learned to refuse it and pronounce positive things to myself and let them know. And at that point, the person will say, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just joking. Or I didn't mean to say that. I say, well, you have said it, but I refuse it. It's not going to be so. So with that being said, I am so blessed. I think my husband told you the story of, you know, I was a young believer, and I came in, I got saved while I was working in this office in Lagos. And it was, I think,
it's a ministry of statistics or something in Nigeria. And I just came out of secondary school and I got a job there. And this guy was, then we started having a fellowship and he was like the head of us there. Like I was learning under him. And all of a sudden one day he just gave me this revelation or whatever he called it, that the Lord showed him that I am his wife. I said, I was young, but I knew that something is not right. How can the Lord tell you and not tell me? This is an important decision of a life. And God will tell you and he will not tell me. So I said, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. And I was very young. I didn't even know anything about other things. And by the Spirit of God, God revealed to me, you know, that this guy wasn't really a Christian. That he had, he was a Rosicrucian. You know, this Rosicrucian people. And that he was using Rosicrucian power on me. So I did not even know what Rosicrucian is. I had to go find out what that was there at that time. Say, what is Rosicrucian and how did they operate? So it was God. This was all revealed to me. I was under 20. I was like 18 at that time. And that was how God revealed to me that this guy was not telling me, he was trying to cajole me to believe what he was saying. So I began to pray. Even though I was a young Christian, I began to pray. Thank God. I think around that time I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the Spirit of God will teach you all truth. Even something that you didn't even know, it will reveal to you. So the Spirit of God began to reveal, you know, this man, what he was trying to do. And with my own self, just like Sister Gola was saying, I did not have the peace. I did not have the conviction. And physically, I wasn't even attracted. I was not attracted to me, to be candid. So I said, you know what? I'll pray and let God lead me in the right direction. And God did. So I had to tell him that I'm sorry, I've heard from God, and I'm sorry, you're not the person. So it was not. I had to actually talk to some that time. Pastor Roland was my go-to guy then. So I went to him, Brother Roland. I said, Brother Roland, I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do. This person said this and that, and not to ask for his own revelation or anything, but for him to know that I'm in this crossroad, that this person is pestering my life and I needed to hear from him to see which direction to go. And he said, look, if God didn't tell you, don't worry about it. I don't care what it just say. Let God talk to you. God can talk to you yourself. So I was emboldened when he told me that. So I was able to say, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I don't have to. So thank God for, you know, this is the kind of advice we should give to young Christians that are being pestered by big brothers or for somebody trying to tell them this is what they should do. So you have to listen to God. Let God speak to you directly. Don't listen to any big person. So with that being said, yes, we need to hear from God. We need to have the spirit of discernment. Even, you know, sometimes someone is talking, you can't even see their face. You should be able to discern the spirit that they're speaking from. Even if it sounds good, you know, not everything that sounds good is good. So, and these days, if you lose that, if you are stripped of that ability, if you say, oh, everything somebody says, you have to swallow it, then you are in for it. So you have to have your own conviction that, you know, as a person, you know, if an organization or a church or something have, you know, their their code of conduct. They have maybe the overseer, the pastor, tells them, well, you know, I mean, this is what the Lord told us to do in this church. You know, if you don't agree, you don't have to be there. You just excuse yourself. Is that simple? But if you are there, and then, you know, you keep arguing with them, then you become like a troublemaker. So if you don't agree with them, then escape, because there's nothing you're going to say to change their minds. So you're going to know what you believe in yourself. You have to believe what God showed you, you know, the word of God, and don't be convinced by nobody have the power to convince you to strip you of what you believe in. Nobody has that power. So you are standing for yourself. You're not standing for any man. Where the throne, you know, the time of ignorance, God has overpassed. And he's asking every man, you know, to stand fast. That time of ignorance as, oh, I didn't know. Somebody told me that's why I'm doing this. I didn't know that. You know, you have to know for yourself. You have to be able to stand for yourself. You know, like, I always, you know, say that there are some things, even if you're in a congregation, take, for instance, the breaking of bread. And they're doing it the way you know that it shouldn't be done. Because you have to discern the body of the Lord. You have to discern it. And you are not convinced that it should be done this way. And they ask you, oh, can you partake? And you say, excuse me, I do believe in breaking of bread, but I don't believe I should do it this way, so I'm not going to partake. You have the right to do that. You don't, nobody can tell you, oh, because you didn't partake, then you're not a Christian. No, you are a believer. You just, you know, excuse yourself, because it's not that you can't fellowship with them, but if they don't see the way you see it, I mean, we see people that come into a gathering, they drink bacon of it, they don't partake. Yeah, why? Because they don't feel they should. The Bible does not force you to do that. So it's not by force that you have to partake in whatever you're not convinced to. So we have that freedom to discern what is evil and what is not right. And God has given us the spirit of discernment. So with that being said, I will just mute my mic right now and turn it over to my pastor and my husband. So, God bless
you.
Thank you
so much for sharing that. That is beautiful. I love what you said about, look, it may even be something, somebody close to you that says you something that's contrary to the way God is leading you. I posted a scripture about that in the chat room. This was, you know, when Peter was trying to dissuade Jesus from going to the cross. You know, and Jesus had to discern that it was Satan that's actually speaking through Peter. And, you know, that's an important lesson, because just before that, Peter was the one that got revelation that who Christ was. Jesus, when he asked, who do men say that I am? It was only Peter that got it right or spoke up. And Jesus said, look, flesh and blood has not given this to you, but my Father in heaven. And this is the great Peter, you know, that Jesus just acknowledged. And a little while later, all of this is in, you know, Matthew 16. I posted that scripture there. You know, a little while later, Jesus got to tell them how he's going to the cross. And Peter began to take him and, you know, tell him that, no, you are the Christ. You should not go to the cross. So, you know, and the Lord had to rebuke that spirit. You know, so that's a perfect example of that. And look at how the Lord said it to him when he turned aside to Peter. And the Lord said to him, get thee behind me. He said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, so that is so point blank, you know, how the Lord used discernment. He spoke right to the person, but he also spoke to the spirit that was motivating them to say or do whatever it was that they were trying to do. And that's boldness, you know. And so, you know, my wife said, look, even when it is people close to you, I mean, Peter was so close to the Lord then, you know, and just because they, you know, they're being even used mightily of God, you know, Peter was the one acknowledged to have received revelation from the Father where nobody else had it. You know, and yet, you know, he's trying to dissuade the Lord from his purpose. You know, so don't let anyone dissuade you about your purpose, you know. And I know people have talked a lot about this and that today. I didn't want to make this room about one particular topic. I was just talking in general, you know, even though we have talked, you know, the topic in general today is spiritual discernment. It's not about marriage. It's not about that. It's not a marriage ministry. It's not about any of that. You know, it's just about, you know, in general, you know, but testimonies came out and things were said, but that's that. But in general, we must learn the voice of God on our own. And if you don't know that voice, you may be liable to deception. And the key word for today is this. Like my wife said, look, by their fruit, you should know them. The key word is Isaiah 8 and 20. Back to the word. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So whatever anybody says, we have to put it up against the word test. It's a word test. But how are you going to do that if you don't know the word yourself? You know, and, you know, don't fall for twisting of the word. Stay with the word. That's why we're in this mess that we are in today. You know, Eve fell for the twisting of the word. Should have stayed exactly with the word. You know, and she herself was, you know, was not saying exactly what God said, you know, from the beginning. And so once you are not even knowing exactly what God said, then you are liable for things, you know, did God say, has God said, and so forth, you know, and, you know, it's just a little twisting, you know. So, you know, what God told them was very clear, you know, and, you know, the direction in which Eve was going, you know, was opening her up already for trouble. You know, because she wasn't knowing exactly what God said, neither was she adamant about staying with what God said. You know, so, you know, the Lord said to them, you know, I mean, in the beginning, you know, you may freely eat of the trees of the garden, but of the one in the midst of the garden, you know, and then, you know, you should not eat, because if you dare eat of it, you will die. And this woman said to the serpent, we may eat of all the fruits of the garden, but of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, you know, the touch it part she added to it. You know, all that God said is don't eat it. You know, so, but the devil, you know, came in there, you know, and tried to, you know, persuade her a little bit. You shall not surely die. I mean, God already knows this and that. You know, and then you begin to, you know, move away from what God already said. And look at all the mess that we're in today. So stay with the word. Once we have the word, stay with it. We also studied, you know, we studied the story of the first Kings 13, the man that had the word and didn't stay with it. You know, so we saw what happened to him. But here's my final lesson on that, even that topic. You know, let's go back to God. If we have made an error, don't remain in the error. Just go back to God, you know. That man of God should have gone back to God, you know, when the older prophet that deceived him now brought the judgment on him. Said, for you not obeying the word of the Lord, your carcass will fall by the wayside. He should have gone back to the Lord and cried for mercy, but he did not. And we saw the end of that was not good. So no matter where we find ourselves, even when we are falling into error, come, return ye unto the Lord, for our God will have mercy. And he will abundantly pardon. So let's return to the Lord. But let's have our spiritual antennas up. So right now we're going to go into prayers. It's been a long room already. We're going to go into prayers. I want to pray for the spirit of discernment. I want to pray that God will give us that spirit of discernment. You know, and wherever we go, you know, we will have spiritual discernment. And it starts by exercising your spiritual senses to discern good and evil. Exercise daily. You know, match things up against the word of God, you know, and call it out as it is, you know, never mind. And don't be afraid of anyone's faces. Honor every man, but, you know, don't honor anybody above the word of God. The word of God is not a respecter of anybody. You know, God will not change his word for anyone, you know, not even for a great prophet or an apostle. God won't change his word. Remember when Balaam tried to change God's word, the angel wanted to kill him. And he would have been for the dumb ass speaking. he would have been killed, you know. So, you know, we can't change God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over this room. Everyone that's been listening to this room today, those that are here now, those that will listen later on, we've talked about a lot of things. And I pray that people have been able to engage God in the spirit and not in the flesh. I pray, Lord, for spiritual discernment. Hallelujah. Let the children, the sons of the kingdom, let them have spiritual discernment. All the men and women of God that are listening to this, that are in this room, we must all have spiritual discernment. Discernment to know the voice of the Lord. My sheep know my voice. They follow me. And a stranger, they will not follow. Sadly, we see, Lord, that many people are following strange voices. We pray, Lord, an awakening in the hearts of your children to get away from the strange voices and go back to the Lord. And for those who have made themselves, you know, perpetrators of strange voices, the Lord, you know, said, look, you know, that is a thing that they have spoken presumptuously. I have not sent them, and don't be afraid of them. You know, so, but if a prophet be deceived, I, the Lord, I deceive that prophet, and I also destroy him from among my people. So it's a dangerous place to be. So we pray for everyone, those who are in deception, Father, that they will turn from their deception and come to the Lord. We pray for those who are victims of deception, that they themselves will turn their hearts back to the Lord and learn, you know, and get deliverance from these things. And we pray against the spirit, you know, that's going on around the world, even now, this, you know, Halloween spirit that many people cannot even discern that it's all from the pit of hell and it's all witchcraft and everything like that. You know, we come against it in the name of Jesus in our neighborhoods, you know, and so forth. This spirit shall not prevail against our children, you know, and so forth like that, or prevail even in our lives and so on. Let us stand for Christ. Wherever we are in our cities, let us proclaim Christ. They, you know, they will be gladly proclaim Halloween, but they don't want to hear anything about Christ. Well, not in my neighborhood. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we have Christ in our hearts. And may we be that those true ambassadors for Christ. May we proclaim wherever we go the word of the Lord. And, you know, above all, we pray that your children will walk in spiritual discernment in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that even some will have the gifts of discerning of spirit to be able to tell the walkings of the enemy, even when it looks so real, when it looks so like the real thing. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding. The entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And I pray today that understanding has come into the hearts of your people through all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Thank you for so patiently waiting. I mean, this room ran much longer than we normally do it. But I just let it go because the Lord was just flowing. So thank you for joining. Hey, listen, you are in here with us in the Walking with God Club. And we are here. Well, sometimes it's Walking with God. Sometimes it's House of Faith. But some, you know, one way or another, we are here every morning, you know, with a room. And we're starting off on at 7:15 a.m. Eastern Time. On the West Coast, that's 4:15 a.m. So until the time change, at least that's the way it is. And if you're on the in West Africa, in Nigeria or England, for instance, it'll be 12:15 noon for you currently. And we're here every morning trying to burn wood on that altar, as it is written in Leviticus 6 and 12. I always try to close with this verse, that we must burn wood upon the altar every morning. And we must lay the wood in order upon the altar. And the fire shall not be put out. If we see that the fire is going out, we bring more wood. We fan it, fan the flame and let it reignite. So thanks everyone for joining. And those that just joined towards the end, we're about to close the room. We've been here now about, you know, 2.5 hours or so already, you know. So it's time for us to close the room and move on to the rest of the day. We invite you to listen to the replays the replay will be available right after this room, maybe 5 minutes or so after the replay will be available. How do you get it? Click on my profile and listen to it. I believe it's a powerful exposition this morning on spiritual discernment and discerning of spirits and how we should not be carried away, even if the whole world is saying something in the name of the Lord, you know, how we must recognize whether it's God or not. You know, so thank you for joining. I see Virginia has joined also. God bless you, Martin and Sister Dana. Good to see you again. God bless all of you. And we are about ready, but I see that Alexis raised her hand. Sorry, I missed your hand earlier. I always want to give opportunity to anyone that raised their hand to speak, and I must have missed it, and I think maybe my wife missed it also. But I'm bringing you to the stage now. Alexis, come on up and share with us quickly what you wanted to say. God bless you. Before we close the room, if you raise your hand, we will always try to accommodate you and to come and share with us before we close the room. So thank you, Alexis, for being here. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor Yato, Lady Ebon. Just really quickly, you know, this was a powerful word. And one thing I wanted to say, you know, in our walk with Christ, you know, as we continue to learn discernment, I feel like, because God is so good and he's so gracious to his children, I feel like a lot of times he will give us warnings. He will give us warnings. We just have to take heed to the warnings. We have to take heed to the warnings that he gives us. And I think, you know, our flesh sometimes will try to say, well, oh no, that's not right. That's not right. You know, but because he loves us so much and he is so merciful, he gives us warnings. He gives us signs. And a lot of times I think, you know, because we may feel a certain way or we're in a certain space, we may not want to see it or believe it. So, and again, that goes back to scripture. We just go back and refer to the word. But again, we have to take heed to what God has put in front of us to protect us. So that's all I really wanted to say. But this was a powerful word. Everybody just have a blessed day. And I thank you, Pastor Evan. Lady Evan, Pastor Yato, I thank you guys so much for this room. So thank you and God bless everybody.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Alexis. You're always here and we appreciate that. And thank you for helping us to keep the room open. You know, like Sister Buki was saying the other day, and she said it a few times, you know, if nobody comes, we really can't keep the room open. So by you coming, anybody who comes, helping us to keep the room open, you know, I really can't come here and speak to myself only. So, you know, by people coming here, and I really appreciate that, Sister Julia, when you said that, and you said it more than once. I never thought of it like that until you said it, you know. So, you know, yeah, you know, it's true. You know, so thank you. I mean, anybody who comes into the room, they're helping us to keep the room alive and keep the room going. And yesterday we prayed for consistency, and we are praying that God will help us to be consistent until God changes it. Here's where we will be right now for now. And so we will be here. And if you're already following us, that's great. If you're not, please do give a follow to Lady Ebon and myself, and you will get to know when we open any of these rooms. At any time, and you know, God can call for the rooms here and there. We will keep this one consistent, but we may do other rooms as well. You know, so we want to thank you very much for joining. It's many people, the day is already going for them, and for those of us that are just getting started, we must get started. We got to go to work and all that, so we can't let this room run too long. And this is the longest it's been since we ever started. Usually, we would have stopped about 30 minutes ago. But I believe it, you know, the Lord blessed your heart through it. And so if it's a blessing, walk in that blessing. And, you know, be sure to remain faithful and true to that word and use that word as a barometer at all times, you know, for whatever is going on. And the Spirit of God will also, you know, give us, you know, understanding. You know, those who have the Holy Spirit, lean upon him even for more spiritual discernment and more help and understanding the things of God. And every tree that my Father has not planted shall be rooted out. So thank you all so very much for joining. It's been an amazing time, and we'll see you back by the grace of God tomorrow morning about the same time. And have a good day, everyone. Love you and thank you so much for joining with us today. Our room will now be closing in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Thank you, Brother Kolapo, Brother Gbenga, Sister Julia, Sister Dana, everybody, Eduardo, Lola, and everybody that's been in the room. God bless you all. And thank you, honey, for being here. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.